I want to read a passage from the 11th chapter of Mark, beginning about verse 12, I believe. "And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And they came to Jerusalem. Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But ye have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him. For they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursedst is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses." That's reading from verse 12 through verse 26 of the 11th chapter of Mark. Now I want to notice a text, the second chapter of James, in the fifth verse. "Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to them that love him? Rich in faith." That's what stands out to me in that text. Poor of this world, but rich in faith. In the passage that I read from the 11th chapter of Mark, we have a case of a fig tree. And A hungry Jesus. Said Jesus was hungry. And this fig tree was afar off. And he saw that it had leaves on it. So he goes over there if perchance he might find some fruit on it. He didn't find anything on it. It wasn't time for anything to be on it. The time of figs was not yet. Well, I kind of mulled over this for years, maybe. A long time. And why did Jesus expect to find anything on that fig tree? Wasn't time for anything to be on it. Since it wasn't time for anything to be on it, there's quite a ways over there. He said he saw it afar off. It hardly looked justifiable for him to take time out, turn aside over there to see if he could find something on it. Wasn't time yet. Well, he didn't find anything, so he just cursed the fig tree. Said, "No man eat fruit of you forever." Well, but why? Why did he think perchance he might find some fruit there? Finally, when I got into some fig country, and I discovered the nature of the fig tree, then I could see what the point was here. It's the nature of the fig tree to put its fruit out before it puts its leaves out. So naturally, when he saw leaves there, he supposed maybe there'd be some fruit there. That's the reason he went over there. But there wasn't any fruit there, so he just cursed the fig tree. I call this a hypocrite fig tree. It had leaves which would indicate there'd be some fruit there among those leaves. But there was no fruit there. It may be that many times, or I'll say it like this, sometimes, the Lord looks among all of the leaves on us, all of the outward manifestation and outward show that we have, hoping to find some fruits of the Spirit down in there. They should be there. If we have the outward manifestations and tokens, there should be some fruits of the Spirit there. But if there is no fruit there, look out. The Lord's looking for fruit. He's particular about fruit, good fruit. And just beware about putting up a front, so to speak, and putting out a show, and having an outward manifestation with no real fruits of the Spirit. Well, as the story goes on, they went on their way and spent the night over there somewhere. Bethany, I think. The next morning, they were going back into Jerusalem. And they passed this same place And Peter was looking to see what happened to this fig tree. He heard what Jesus said. And there it was, all withered and wilted overnight. Now that's not usual. Usually it takes a tree longer than that to wither. Cut it loose from the roots. Lay it down on the ground. It takes it longer than that for the leaves to wither. But not under the disapproving curse of God on it. It'll wither immediately. Amen. So it was just withered. And Peter said, "Look here, Lord. Here's that fig tree you spoke to yesterday. Look how it is today. All that Jesus said is very important." He said, "Have faith in God." Amen. You see what my word can do. You see what happens when I put a disapproving curse against something. You just have faith in God. God wants you and me to be rich in faith, and people that have faith are rich. Amen. Did you know it's a lot better, it stands you in a lot better position to have faith than it does $1 million? You might have $1 million and run into some kind of a deal that took $2 million. There you'd be stuck. But if you got faith, you have a promise of God that whatever you ask, you shall receive. So if you need $2 million, there'll be $2 million there. Faith just covers the ground. Faith takes in the need. Faith brings to you and me everything that we stand in need of in whatever area of our lives. Amen. Maybe it isn't $1 million. Maybe it isn't money at all. Maybe it's some patience we need. Maybe it's some grace that we need. Maybe it's to be enriched with the divine virtues and graces of God. Faith will bring whatever we need. Amen. Maybe it's some victory we need. Maybe it is a boost that we need to live victoriously and triumphantly, but faith will bring that. $1 million wouldn't bring that, but faith will. And to be able to live victoriously and triumphantly in this life's worth more than $1 million. I'll get to a text about that maybe in a few minutes if the Lord wills. But now he said, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. I wonder if there is anyone here that has ever known of a mountain actually being moved. A mountain like Mount Jefferson or Mount Hood or any other mountain. Have you ever known of a mountain actually being moved? I haven't. But the Word of God confirms itself. And I conclude from that that God has the mountains distributed around where he wants them, and they're not going to move. But things that pile up in our lives that seem insurmountable. Great mountains of problems and difficulties and needs of one kind and another. I've seen many of them moved. Amen. Thank the Lord. Through prayer and through faith. Amen. Yes. I say again that God's word confirms itself. And since you nor I have ever seen or read or heard tell of actually a mountain being moved, I conclude that wasn't what he was talking about here. Or else there'd have been some moved. But he was talking about those mountainous, insurmountable, big things and obstacles in our lives and things that we come up against and severe situations and conditions. God can move those things. He can move a mountain too if he wants to. But it seems that he has the mountains where he wants them. Yeah, Evelyn says, well, the mountain we were living on was moved when the earthquake and struck Southern California in 1971 down there. Well, it was. They said it moved over about 4 feet and raised up about 6. But it's still there predominantly where it was. But I have seen these things like I'm talking about vanish and cease to be. Just not there like they were. Amen. Yes. And God wants you and me to face life with faith in him. Amen. With the faith of God. He said the just shall live by faith. And he said we walk by faith and not by sight. And he wants us to face our lives and our problems in life and the unknown future and everything with faith in God. Have faith in God, Jesus said. Amen. He who has faith has everything that he needs. He has what it takes to carry him through as long as his faith holds. Have whatsoever he saith, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Now isn't that great?
Amen.
It's a great promise. It's contingent on believing. The prayer of faith isn't just words. It's the expression, the utterance from the heart that believes that God's going to do what we want done, what needs to be done. He's going to do that. Faith is not wishful thinking, but it's an actual rooted belief and conviction in our hearts that this thing is going to come to pass. Whatsoever things ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Uh-oh, here's something connected with that. All of these great, broad promises of God, they have some strings attached to them. And here's a little string attached to this. When ye stand praying, forgive. Folks, a little bit of unforgiveness is going to block our faith.
Yes,
hinder our faith. God wants you and me to be sincere about what we're doing. And that we, from our hearts, forgive every man his brother their trespasses. Not just talk about it. Not just preach and teach forgiveness, but actually forgive. Now this is a contingency here connected with getting what you pray for. When ye stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. Any. Well, but that fella, he's so bad, he has did me so bad. Well, if you have aught against any, whoever he be, however bad he did you, forgive him. And forgiveness involves a lot more than some folks think it does. Forgiveness, actual forgiveness, goes a lot farther than some people think it does. It goes a lot farther than just saying, yes, I forgive you. But genuine forgiveness will take things out by the roots, out of your heart. Get rid of it out of your heart. When you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your heavenly Father may also forgive your trespasses. Now we have a text in the 17th chapter of Luke, in the 6th verse. Jesus is teaching a lesson here on forgiveness. And he said, beginning with verse 3, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. If he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Well, but I don't think he's sincere. If he trespasses 7 times in a day, I don't think he's sincere. So I don't pay any attention to what he said. That isn't what Jesus said. Jesus said if he turns and says, I repent. It's not any of my business whether he's sincere or not. That's between him and God. If he doesn't mean it at all, if he isn't sincere one drop, that's none of my business. My business is to forgive him if he says, I repent.
Amen.
That's the way this is set up here. That's just the way this says. 7 times in a day he turns saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Folks, here's where more faith had come in handy. If you have problems forgiving, and forgiving to the extent that you should forgive, to the extent that will free your soul from all of its problem between you and God, you need more faith. Now Jesus said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Now what's he talking about here? Every text of Scripture in the Bible connects up with something. And this is in a context here. It connects up with some other verses here. And the teaching of this whole passage is forgiveness. And when the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith, Jesus said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this sycamine tree, be plucked up by the roots and cast into the sea, and it would obey you. Folks, this is glorious.
Amen.
There's victory here. This is a wonderful thing Jesus said here. He's talking about forgiveness. And the sense of this text is, if you have sufficient faith in the all in the merits of the all-atoning blood of the Son of God, you can command that thing to come out of your heart, root, branch, and all, none of it left, and it will obey you. The Bible speaks about a root of bitterness springing up, trouble you. But you can pluck out those roots of bitterness. And every bad feeling you have. And seek the power of the blood of Jesus Christ to purge the stains, all of it, out of your soul. And set you free. And he says it will obey you.
Amen.
We must come to a point before we can have this kind of faith and this kind of results. We must come to a point where we detest this thing. And that we renounce and reject this thing. That creates a block and makes a breach between me and another brother. I detest it. I resent it. I renounce it. And in that kind of an attitude, I'm tired of this thing and I command it to come out. Come out root and branch. The whole tree with all the roots of bitterness and everything else. And your faith in the merits of the all-atoning blood of the Son of God will give you victory and bring results. In the 9th chapter of Mark again, we notice verse 23. Now in this case, Jesus with his three disciples, Peter, James, and John, are coming down off of the Mount of Transfiguration. Now there was a glorious, wonderful thing happened up there. And Peter and James and John were permitted to see it. See Jesus take on his glorified form up there. Now they're coming down. Oh, people say that'd be wonderful, be on that Mount of Transfiguration. Yes, it was wonderful. Peter said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. That was a good place.
Amen.
But you can't just stay up there all the time. You have to get down in the valley if you're going to do any service for God. To his fellow men, you got to come down out of that place and get down here among people where you can meet the problems of life and do some work for God.
Amen.
So they were coming down from there and they saw a group of people over here and a little excitement going on, and they walk on up into the middle of it, and there's a man there that seemed to have recognized Jesus, or maybe somebody pointed Jesus out to him. Here's a man that can help you. So he went to Jesus and entreated him. He'd brought his son, who was a lunatic. And He said, I brought him here and besought your disciples to heal him, but they couldn't. But now he said, if you can do anything, you help us. If you can do anything. Folks, we need to approach God with a conviction in our hearts that he can do everything.
Amen.
Not with any if in our hearts. If you can do anything. But just believing that he can do everything. He has all power in heaven and in earth. And he can do anything and everything. And nothing is impossible with him.
Amen.
Now Jesus turns the if around and puts it right where it belongs. We may say if to God about this and if to God about that. But Jesus just turned it right around and put it right where it belonged, and he said, if you. The man said, if you can do anything, help us. And Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Folks, did you ever analyze that? All things are possible to him that believeth. I'm talking about rich in faith. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom of God? If you can believe, that's where the if is. The if's on our part. It isn't on God's part. We put it on God sometimes, but it's on our part. That if belongs with us.
Amen.
If you can believe, have faith, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now we readily grasp the thought that all things are possible with God. We've been taught that from our childhood, and we come right up with that idea in our mind that God's over all, he has everything under control, that all things are possible with him. But it's a little difficult for us to get the idea that all things are possible with us, isn't it? But now that's what he's promising us through faith. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. People that have faith to cover the ground and take in the scope of their needs, nothing shall be impossible to them. Of course, we understand that when he said this, he wasn't putting us on an equal plane with God, and that everything would be possible with us like it's possible with God, and that we could create worlds and hang the sun, moon, and the stars out there and control the universe and all that kind of thing. He's talking about you and me right down here in our natural human sphere. Living right down here in the problems that we meet as human beings living in this world. But if we have faith, and doubt not in our hearts. All things will be possible to us that could possibly come into our lives. We can handle them. This isn't some fantasy. This isn't some of this out of this world thing. It's God telling you and me what he has willed to us through faith, that we can be the master of everything that happens in our lives. Here in our human sphere, we're not talking about creating worlds and ruling the universe and hanging the sun, moon, and the stars out there and controlling them. We're not talking about that. But we're talking about the problems that we meet in life.
Amen.
And in the problems that we meet in life, there could possibly be nothing at all that would ever develop in our human sphere of life that we couldn't handle if we had faith as a grain of mustard seed. Faith to cover the ground, take in the need, we can handle any situation that develops in our lives. Now Jesus just confirmed this again over in the 17th chapter of Matthew in verse 20. This is again the same occasion as is related in the 20th or in the 9th chapter of Mark that we just considered there. Jesus said unto them, they want to know now, why couldn't we cast this out? This evil spirit out of this lunatic son. Why couldn't we heal this man? Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Well, again, that's nothing that could happen to us in our human sphere of life that we couldn't handle. That would be impossible to us to overcome that. Absolutely, there is nothing that you and I cannot overcome and surmount if we have sufficient faith in God and in the all-atoning blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Over in the 9th chapter, I didn't go on down and get that, but it's important. I'll back up to that now. In the 9th chapter of Mark, Jesus said to this man, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth.
Amen.
And the man cried with tears and said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief.
Amen.
Now what kind of sense does that make? I believe, help mine unbelief. How does unbelief mix with belief? How do doubts mix with faith? They don't. This man wasn't actually doubting. What he was saying is, Lord, I believe, but seems like maybe I don't believe strong enough. Help me to believe strong enough.
Amen.
In John the 15th chapter and verse 7, he says, now here's another one of those promises with some strings attached to it. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will and it shall be done.
Yes, Lord.
I'm thinking now of a text over in the first epistle of John. I don't remember just chapter and verse for it right now. But he says, this is the confidence that we have that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He heareth us, we know that we have the petition.
Amen.
It's granted. If we ask anything according to His will. That ties right in with us abiding in Him and His words abiding in us, that we're going to be subject to His will. Abiding in Him involves that. And His word abiding in us makes it clear to our understanding what the will of God is, and we accept that. And he said, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will. Everything you ask is going to be according to his will. Amen. If you're abiding in him, and his word abiding in you to teach you what the will of God is. You can ask what you will, and it shall be done. In Philippians, the 4th chapter, and verse 19. Now this is a great text here. These people have made a strong sacrifice to help Paul in his missionary work down there. He's just received an offering that they sent down there to him, where he was, by a messenger named Epaphroditus. He had brought this offering. Paul is writing back to them now, and he says, I'm full, I have need of nothing, having received of Epaphroditus the things that were sent from you, a sacrifice, an odor of a sweet smell, and a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing unto God. Now these folks had denied themselves, and it sounds like that they had given to the point of need in this. Kind of overshot the bounds, maybe. But Paul comforted them with this thought, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Do you ever analyze that? Think that over? Do you ever analyze what that means? My God shall supply all of your needs. Now, there's no qualifications on that. He never said all your spiritual needs. Of course, God's primarily interested in our spiritual needs. And he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. But he didn't qualify anything here. He never said all your spiritual needs or all your physical needs or all your material needs. He just said all your needs. And I interpret that as an all coverage thing, applying to our needs physically, materially, and spiritually. All of them, all of our needs. But my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, how much is that? Paul speaks of the riches of Christ as unsearchable. The unsearchable riches of Christ. And God's going to dip into that to supply our needs. That gives him an inexhaustible supply to draw on to supply all of the needs of his children. Everything that they have need of, spiritually, physically, and materially. Whatever. And I'm sure that this was some comfort to those Philippian brethren, which it seems from the way the story unfolds here and the things that were said, that they had given to the point of need in their contributions to help the missionary work down there where Paul was. But Paul said, God's going to turn it around and he'll supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. In 1 John, the 5th chapter, in the 4th verse, here is a grand finale to all of it, all that I've said up to now. And he says here, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith."
Amen.
You having any problem with the world? You having any problem with worldliness? Worldly mindedness? Worldly affections? Worldly attachments? Worldly living? You having any problem with anything like that? The good news that I bring you, and it's substantiated right here in this text, there's overcoming victory for you to get free from that kind of thing. But it's in our faith. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith.
Amen.
The riches of faith. God has chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom of God. How rich can you get anyway? Who would want any greater riches than that?
Amen.
Heirs of the kingdom of God. And when you get the kingdom of God, you get everything in it. Everything that it affords. But it takes faith to overcome this world. This world's going to have a natural pull for the natural man. And for the natural part of all of us. And it takes faith in the spiritual and eternal things of God. And a vision of those things to overcome this pull that the world has, and go on for God. But by faith, we can overcome it and live victoriously and triumphantly through Jesus Christ. Amen.